Maybe you have had the experience of getting ready to plant a garden and accidentally spilled several kinds of seeds together. As you started to sort them, you were able to identify some easily, but others looked so much alike that it was hard to sort one kind of seed or another. It is the same way in life. Each of us makes many choices each day, and some of our choices are seeds of high-quality durum wheat, and others are weeds. What seeds are you planting in your life? You are here at Mass this morning, praise God, a good seed. Maybe last week you saw someone's need for help, and you offered, even before being asked, a good seed. But you also know that there are things that would not be characterized as good seed. Maybe you skipped saying grace when having lunch with a friend, or were too embarrassed to stand up for the Catholic faith in an office conversation. Or maybe you kept watching television even though you heard your spouse or your mom or dad struggling with a chore where they clearly needed your help. As the Catechism says, in everyone, and that's you and me, the weeds of sin will still be mixed with the good wheat of the gospel until the end of time. And that's from the Catechism, paragraph 827. It can sometimes be difficult to identify what kind of seeds we are planting through our thoughts and our choices, but be very sure we will reap what we sow. Today, as the Church begins National Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, we can look back at a particular seed, the birth control pill, and with it, the explosion of contraceptive technology and immorality. This development, this seed, seemed to promise so much good for married couples. It was anticipated that marriages would be happier and more stable. And there was a great expectation that the Church would change its perennial teaching and, for the first time, accept contraception as licit. However, through the wisdom of the Church's sacred tradition, Pope St. Paul VI was able to identify contraception not as a seed that would bear good fruit, but as a weed. With great love for the Church and for couples, Pope St. Paul VI promulgated Humanae Vitae, his encyclical on God's plan for married love, sexuality, the gift of fertility, and responsible parenthood. In it, he warned that widespread acceptance of contraception would have serious consequences, not only for couples, but also for society. The Holy Father predicted that the result would be increased marital infidelity, a general lowering of morality, husbands objectifying their wives, and governments enacting coercive birth control programs. Now that 55 years have passed since Pope St. Paul VI made these predictions, we can see the negative effects of widespread contraceptive use. While we could quantify the reality of each prediction with social science data, we can also simply look at the evidence around us and acknowledge the truth of his prophetic insight. For example, currently, most developed nations have widespread not marital sexual activity among their population that is facilitated by contraception. This has yielded many negative outcomes, including fewer people marrying and more men and women cohabitating, higher rates of sexually transmitted diseases, children born outside of marriage because all contraceptives have failure rates, the legalization of abortion since it is used as a contraceptive backup, and fewer couples choosing to have children. High rates of divorce are prevalent among contraceptive users, as opposed to those who follow Catholic teaching and use natural methods to space births in their families. And the nature of marriage is being questioned. One of the reasons that facilitates this is the notion that procreation is not an essential part of marriage, and that men and women do not possess unique gifts that are needed to form the marital union. Some people question not only why marriage must be between a man and a woman, but why it should be limited to just two people. The promotion of polyamory, the sexual unions of a group of people, is becoming more prevalent. Premarital chastity is seen as something unrealistic, and parents are encouraged to procure birth control for their teenagers. Men and women have devalued the place of children in marriage, with more choosing to not have children, and those who eventually do often find that they have to resort to assisted reproductive technologies. Due to the choice to have children at later ages, assisted reproductive technologies have grown. Many of these technologies, such as in vitro fertilization, test tube babies, are immoral, and surrogacy has been added to those choices. Pornography has been mainstreamed in many developed nations, and addiction to pornography is now destroying marriages and harming families. The rapid rise of so-called gender-affirming procedures and treatments are another example of the misguided triumph of technology over nature, where there are no limits to the manipulation of the human body. Governments have enacted unjust population and so-called reproductive health legislation. Examples: China's one-child policy and history of forced abortions. The United States federal government HHS contraceptive mandate that insisted religious organizations such as the Little Sisters of the Poor provide contraceptive coverage for employees. As in today's parable of the weeds and the wheat, contraception and natural family planning can seem very similar. Contraception seems like an easy, efficient solution to support marriage, but rather than good fruit, it is a weed that bears thorns, as I've already mentioned. Another thorn is misinformation about NFP that dissuades couples embracing it in their marriages. Few people know that modern NFP is highly effective. It is far, far, far from that old calendar method. Mother Teresa taught NFP to the poorest of the poor in India with great success. Few people know that NFP enriches both the marital relationship and the spiritual lives of husbands and wives. The good seed is the Lord God's beautiful truth of marital love that the church offers. Openness to that knowledge, that with good instruction and personal follow-up, and then faithful use of one of the various NFP methods, are good seeds that bear fruit in the lives of couples. NFP can be used confidently throughout a woman's childbearing years, allowing a couple to live out their call to responsible parenthood and harmonizing both the unitive and procreative aspects of the marital embrace. NFP is also true family planning in that it helps a couple achieve as well as avoid a pregnancy. NFP can be likened to a mustard seed or yeast, small things that have a huge impact. By coming to learn NFP and understand their shared fertility, through discerning whether God is calling them to have a child, and in exercising the virtues of marital chastity and temperance, the couple's relationship is blessed. Couples using NFP often speak of feeling closer to one another or having better communication, as well as feeling closer to God. Couples that utilize NFP in their marriages almost never experience divorce. The rate is like less than 2%. When reflecting on love, life, and responsible parenthood, we are reflecting on something that cannot be measured or evaluated only in terms of this world alone, but that always has a bearing on eternity, on the eternal destiny of man. The Lord does not want just part of our lives. He wants all of our lives, all of our hearts. There is no aspect of our lives that is outside his loving concern, his care of all. We're all called to holiness and to seek it according to our state in life. Following the church's teaching regarding marriage, conjugal love, and responsible parenthood is a path to holiness. It's a good seed that bears much good fruit. In the second reading, St. Paul assures that the Spirit will come to aid us in our weakness. If you've not yet been able to embrace the church's teaching in this area, ask the Holy Spirit to help and to guide you, regardless of the choices you may have made in the past. If contraception was a part of your life and you have not taken that to confession, do so and receive God's loving forgiveness. But take time to understand the church's teaching on NFP. Now, you might be wondering why I am addressing this subject when so many here are well beyond child-rearing ages, right? It's not because I'm thinking that there might be an Abraham and a Sarah here, although there could be. I'm not ruling that out. It's because you are also mothers, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, uncles, and aunts who need to know this critical aspect of the Catholic faith, that you might be able to fervently pass it on to your children, to your grandchildren, to your nieces, and to your nephews. To help you, Married Love and the Gift of Life is a document from the U.S. bishops available on their website. It explains this teaching in an easy question and answer format. It is worth a prayerful reading. Remember the response from today's psalm. Lord, you are good and forgiving. Trust his love. Open your heart to our Lord and to the wisdom of Holy Mother Catholic Church.